All right, here we go. We certainly are staying alive, just like the Pittsburgh Steelers and their AFC playoff hopes. But this is a baseball show. This is how we open up the baseball show after a great Pittsburgh Steelers win. But we're here to talk baseball, and we got a special guest on the Bryson Bechtold Baseball Breakdown Show, Tyler Gallo.
Yeah, that's right. Thanks for having me, guys. Oh, excited to be here.
Of course. Happy to have you here. Well, Gallo, we didn't even introduce ourselves. I'm Austin Bechtold.
I'm Nathan Breisinger.
But we wanted to jump in because we have our special guest. We want to talk first. We got a couple things lined up. We want to recap the World Series, talk with Gallo. We want to talk some Mets. That's his team. We'll hear his thoughts on them. We're going to talk our team, the Pirates. We're going to dish out some awards. This is award season in baseball. And as always, at this time of year, free agent talk.
Yeah, and GM meetings start this week. Yeah. So and there could be the hot stove could be burning hot later this week.
And the Pirates don't even have themselves a GM, but hey.
That's how the Pirates have been all year. That's just how they're going sort of with the flow. But they're a mess.
But let's talk World Series right now. You know, only a couple weeks off from it. Kind of just trying to process everything that happened. 7-game series. Pretty good World Series, I'd like to say. Gal, what were your thoughts on it?
It's just a very confusing, in my opinion. Every fan that went there for their team didn't see them win.
Yeah, they paid a lot of money to go see a lot of losing baseball for their
just
own teams.
Insane. And I feel like every time I would go do something or not be able to actually watch the game, the Nationals I would leave where the Astros would be winning 2-0, and then the Nationals would come back and win. It just didn't make any sense to me. And as someone who is a New York Mets fan and your team in the division, and you have to see them raise their banner when you play them their home opener, it's not a fun time.
So are the Nationals a rivalry towards the Mets?
Yeah. Rivals. I mean, as most teams in the division are, besides the Marlins because they suck. Yeah, but I feel like it's more of a rivalry for the Mets and the Phillies than it is the Mets and the Nationals, but it's still a bit of a rivalry.
Yeah, I mean, I'd understand seeing the Cardinals or the Brewers raise it, so.
Actually, just seeing the Cubs raise it not too long ago, but yeah, pretty back and forth affair. It's kind of, unusual, really unusual, never in the history of any sport, MLB, NBA, NHL, does the road team win every single game. I think from the get-go, you just saw the Nationals show what they can do and take a stand, only giving up 2 runs in both Game 6 and Game 7 back in Houston. I mean, and then offensive just displays they showed throughout every single game, not scoring less than 4 runs in any game. It was not putting up, abysmal offensive numbers when they didn't have to. Late in games, the Nationals just took control whenever they had to take control of the games, which was, pretty well received, obviously, from their pitching staff to be able to go out there and get lockdown outs when they needed to.
Yeah, it was just confusing. I mean, that's the bottom line, and it was a great series by all means. I just think that the Astros, they won 60 games at home this year. That's something you don't see too often, and then they didn't win a single one in the World Series. That's just ridiculous.
Yeah, I talked about in our previous shows just did nerves play a factor in this game, at least in the series, at least for the Nationals being their first time? For the Astros, yeah, it's weird. It is very confusing that happened. I don't know. I don't know if, going in there, the starting pitchers, did a good job of taking out the, the home crowd. But, I mean, there was a lot of comebacks, too, in the series. So it was just odd, but it was really fun to watch, to be honest, just to see what had occurred throughout the series.
Yeah, it was pretty odd. But, the Nationals, no one really expecting them to be able to go on this run, be able to prove to people that they can outduel the Nationals, that they can outduel the Astros pitching and be able to put up the necessary offense that, usually the Astros are the ones driving the ball out of the ballpark. The Nats with Rendon and Kendrick and
Soto. Their entire lineup didn't really show up the entire series except for Rendon and Soto and Kendrick.
That was it.
That was the three guys. Yeah, Zimmerman hit a home run in the first game, but nobody else was
contributing. They did just enough to win the series and win those games and come back.
They capitalized on the luck in all their series. Error in the wild card game. The playoff Kershaw in the NLDS. And then the Cardinals just fell off a cliff in the NLDS.
Inexperienced playoff team.
Yeah, there was
Cardinals,
also the factor of momentum. I mean, once they got that wild card win and then they beat the Dodgers, that Cardinals sweep, I mean, it was coming because they were just riding that wave. And just to fill you in, Gallo, when we were doing the show before the playoffs started, I picked the Nationals as my dark horse team to go to the World Series, and they ended up going. And
he picked them to lose to the Astros, but
I think everyone picked the Astros.
I switched that, you know, once they got there, because I was just going to stay with the team that's hot, and the Nationals it might pick throughout the playoffs. But I don't know, picking them, I was even surprised that they made it, but it was a dark horse pick.
Just one thing, I had one knock on the Nationals. They had $35 NLCS tickets. I mean, come on.
That's it?
That's your first NLCS in franchise history, and you're going to have $35 tickets.
Even Pittsburgh would be more
than
that. God,
even the Pirates.
And then they had, like, a very, very mediocre showing for their parade.
Yeah. I will.
The Capitals had a lot more for their Stanley Cup parade.
Also, is that just a thing for baseball? Like, for the most part, it's a, you know, standing out there in the fall,
it's the
like 35.
That's the fan base.
I don't think they like the Nationals as much as they like the Caps. Because I feel like the people that, my friend who's a big Nationals fan told me that, like, people around that area, they grew up Baltimore fans because the Nationals always didn't have a team there. Like 2005.
That is true. They're a growing franchise. And also, the Caps were good for, like, the last, like, 15 years, and they finally won.
Yeah.
Nationals are so off and on. It's so hard to, you know, be a fan of that team, just like the Pirates where they're off and on, or the Mets where they're in contention and out of contention. So,
yeah.
Well, they just all of a sudden just showed up and, you know, saw what they'd.
I mean,
even to people.
To be honest, even when the Mets were getting hot there, I mean, they weren't drawing as much fans as they probably should have.
They did for the Nationals series and only then. The Nationals and then the Cleveland series, and then they just started to fill it throughout. Because I feel like the Nationals series was where they were. Because I went to one of the games in that series, and the first two games, the crowd was packed. And then the last game was a day game, so there wasn't as many people there, and they lost that game, so it wasn't great. But, yeah, I feel like the Mets got a lot more fans for those three series games than they did for, like, than the Nationals did for the playoffs. Like, it just seems a bit different.
Yeah, but New York is a much bigger city than a lot of baseball towns, so you would expect a little bit more fans.
Yeah, and then they've also got another team in the city.
That's true.
The Yankees. I just loved how they lost out in the playoffs. Just, or all this Chapman giving up the walk-off home run. That's just great. But, yeah, I just think that D.C., their team is good. I don't think they're going to be as good this year. Like, 2020,
no,
they are not going to be good.
Because they're going to lose something.
They're going to lose Rendon or Strasburg or both.
Yeah, I feel like Rendon's going to stay. But
he could, but I also think, as much as this is not – this is a very biased statement, but I feel like he may go to the Mets because they have a hole at third base. But he also, I feel like, would go to just a random team like Texas.
And someone that's going to throw him money.
Because he's from Texas. Yeah. So
Texas would be probably the most likely destination outside of D.C. I just don't see him leaving. I don't think
– if he does leave, that's two seasons in a row where that happens to the Nationals.
Yeah, I see it as like Kawhi. Why would you leave a championship team – to be able to, you know, unless you're going to another championship team.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, why would you leave? And Texas is not that.
And plus, I think the Nationals are just going to do their best to keep him because, yeah, you lose Strasburg, who's going to get a ton of money, but you have other pitchers there, like Scherzer and Sanchez and Corbin, you know, the guys that are still capable of winning.
I think Scherzer, as much as this is a bad statement, I feel like he's falling off a bit.
Yeah.
Because
the
way he pitched down the stretch was not good. Not Scherzer.
Yeah, all those pitchers, you know, they have their timetables, and they can hit it at any given point in time. So
yeah.
It was true.
It was odd. He pitched well in the postseason. Yeah. So, I mean, probably ran the wheels off of him and, you know, maybe.
Yeah, they pitch him a lot during the regular season. I feel like that's been the big product of where he's been starting to struggle is they throw his arm off the entire year.
But also you got to look at Justin Verlander, and you know he's been around and pitching for a long time, and he's been in the World Series plenty of times and
struggles in the World Series
too. He's never won a World Series game.
That's crazy.
It's incredible. Just for
it is. I mean, it's just like that's the only box he hasn't checked off on his list. He's got all the accolades, but he just hasn't won a World Series game. And I just feel like he deserves to win one at some point, but also it's just weird.
Well, at least he has a World Series ring under his belt.
I mean, he has that. That's true.
I'd rather have that. But, it was very odd, the series just in general. I think, you know, where do the Nationals go from here will be a key thing to look at with Strasburg free agent and Rendon free agent. We'll get into free agents more a little later. But let's go to Gallo's Mets. Gallo, give us the state of the Mets. Tell us what's going on with them.
Well,
as we just – we're going to talk – AL East, eventually. We'll get Goldberg on. We'll talk Phillies, and we'll have our own little AL East show right now. But tell us about the Mets.
Well, right now, it's just what the heck is Brody Van Wagenen going to do this offseason? Last season, success, yes, but not exactly where they wanted to be. 86 games, not a bad statement. They almost made the wild card, but I feel like in a team where when you see the Braves and the Nationals do well and go to the playoffs, that's sort of a bit of a jealousy thing. Mm-hmm. And I think he's going to do well. I like the addition of Carlos Beltran as the manager. I think that's a really, really good pickup. Obviously, there's probably going to be growing pains under that. I just think they need to make a couple of good moves this offseason. They need to shore up the bullpen. That's the biggest thing. They need to fix Edwin Diaz. That's their main struggle last season. And I just think they need to, I don't know, maybe add someone, not the, one of the best ones, maybe just get somebody good. Like Josh Donaldson wouldn't be a bad add. Some of these guys that are could probably command pretty good deals, they could probably add. So I think they have enough financial flexibility for that.
Yeah, I don't know what happened to Edwin Diaz. I think he just fell off from being, you know, top three closer in the game to absolutely hittable. And, you know, ever since the trade to the Mets, just, you know, was not his same self. The ball just did not look like it was coming out of his hand the same, and it wasn't moving as the same.
And when he did show flashes. Like, there was a couple of games where it's like, this is the guy we traded for. But then the majority of the games, like, he was their best reliever in April. He pitched to, I think, 1.5 ERA through April, or 0.5 ERA through April. Yeah. And then it got to May, and he got to that Dodgers game that was crazy, and he got to a couple of other stinkers, and it just ruined his season. I just think for him, it may have just been the pressure of New York, but it also, he might need to just learn a new pitch because he's a two-pitch pitcher. You can't be a two-pitch pitcher as a closer.
I think eventually the pressure of New York excuse has to, you know, I think it has to go away eventually. Yeah. Like the Sonny Gray thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think that was just the Yankees pitching coaches. Because you see what he's doing in Cincinnati where the ball absolutely flies.
But he may have honestly been tipping his pitches. I feel like that was the main thing. Because he is he's a very whippy motion on the mound. Mm-hmm. And you can tell when he's throwing the fastball versus the slider.
Yeah, when you only have two pitches, it's easier to read that than having four.
And he actually learned Jacob DeGrom's grip towards the end of the season, and it sort of improved his slider. But it just didn't really get better. I think ever since he gave up the three-run lead to the Dodgers, his season just crashed and burned after that point. It was just like, well, we got to put Seth Lugo in this situation. We can't put Diaz in the closer's role anymore. He lost his closer role to Lugo, and I think he's got to earn it back this year. That's
now,
the main standpoint.
What are your thoughts on the Mets sort of pulled like a Pirates last year of when the Pirates did 2 years ago, went out and got Archer at the deadline. They were going to move some of their starting pitching at the deadline, but instead they brought in Marcus Stroman, and they made that push and just never made the playoffs. What are your thoughts on that, not moving any of your starting pitching?
You know, I think they need to hold on to them because I don't think Syndergaard, he was sort of a question mark this year too. He was getting hit hard for really no reason. He had a very inconsistent season, and I think you need to hold on to him because he's a really good pitcher, and if he puts it back together, he's going to be dominant. I really like the Stroman move at the time. I hate giving up the two prospects because our farm system's terrible as it is, but Stroman is a pretty good pitcher, and he pitched really well, better than I thought he actually did for the Mets down the stretch. So I like the moves. I just think if they were going to trade anybody, it was going to be Zach Wheeler because he was a rental, but they didn't. So it was a bit of a question.
I don't understand not trading Zach Wheeler to get something back. I don't think he's accepting the qualifying offers. Are they done? Are they officially?
He's not going to accept
it. He's not going to accept it regardless. But
they might re-sign him. I feel like they could, but also he could sign with the Braves because that's where he's from.
It seems like nowadays in sports, a lot of people are just going back to their hometowns.
Yeah,
it just seems how it is.
That's something interesting. I've really realized too. You know, Garrett Calder talking Angels. He's from there.
That's the more likely one than the Braves for Wheeler. I feel like he's going to get a lot of money, and I think the Mets need to, if they want to succeed next year, they got to keep him.
Yeah, I mean, if you bring him back and you put together, you know, that pitching staff they have, they can, if they all regain their stride, they can be one of the dominant pitching staffs in the league easily. Yeah.
Oh,
still got Matt if he's ever healthy.
Matt's is a bit of like, he just gets in his own head all the time. When he gives up a hit, or like he'll be going strong, he'll pitch like three scoreless innings and then he'll give up a home run and everything will just
collapse.
He's weird. Like, he had a weird season where he like couldn't pitch well in the first inning but was dominant in the rest of the innings, and then like he sucked on the road, I think, but was just crazy at home. So he's weird, but he's a good pitcher.
Yeah, he's odd. I think also, you know, you need a lefty in the rotation. That's something we've seen with the Pirates that they just haven't had in the past. But I think Matt is a good pitcher. I think he just, like you said, he gets in his own head. I think he struggles with command a lot, and I think that's really what has been, you know, holding him back from becoming, I wouldn't say elite, but to more of the level that Wheeler's on.
Yeah, he just needs to, like, work with just not screaming at himself every time he gives up a home run, because it's just one run. It's not, like, the end of the world, especially if you have the lead. And he's known for, like, slamming his glove in the dugout, knocking over the Gatorade cooler. That's just...
It sounds like Garrett Cole a little bit back at Pittsburgh.
Sounds like Chris Archer.
Yeah. Head case.
Another head case on the Mets is Marcus Stroman, but that's a bit different. He's just sort of a bit of a hype guy.
I like Stroman.
I love Stroman. He's a great pitcher.
I think it would have been great if the Pirates would have traded for him, paired him with Archer, top of the rotation guy. That'd be pretty nice. But
Pirates, mate, that would be another move, though, that could backfire, as Archer has so far.
Yeah, I do want to talk Beltran, though. I don't know. I think it was a tunneled move from the beginning. I think that the Mets, as soon as they started talking to Beltran, they kind of thought, yeah, this is going to be our guy. I like the hire more than the Cubs hire of David Ross, which, yes, I think is going to absolutely, you know.
They're
going to
win like 72.
That's not working. That is going to absolutely backfire and be awful, because I think just you're having a friend coach his fellow friends. It's really what it is. I mean, he's only like, you know, 10, he's only 5-10 years older than a lot of the guys, but
that's the type of stuff that makes, like, where the team sort of overrides his decisions as being a friend.
Yeah,
you,
like,
can't tell your friends no. Like,
it's like somebody pointed out MLB Network, just wait when he is walking to the mound to take John Lester out of the game, and John Lester just says, standing on the mound, no, like, I'm not coming out of the game. Walk back to the dugout, Rossi. I'm not coming out. The relationships are going to fizzle, and I don't see it working out very well. They could trade Wilson Contreras, they're talking.
Why would you do that? Like, your team is – their window's closing fast.
Yep.
Especially after last season, they didn't even make the playoffs.
I don't trade your catcher. Why trade your catcher who hits for power and plays pretty decent defensively?
It's crazy.
Why? I would not understand that. But, yeah, Beltran, I think he's a good baseball mind. I think coming back to the Mets will benefit. You know, he did not play on the Mets same time that these current Mets are playing. So
But I think they were in the minors when he was still on the team. I just think they know him, they respect him. I feel like there's not going to be like a lot of like tension in the dugout. Yeah. I feel like he's embraced analytics. He calls it information. He doesn't call it analytics. I just think he's one of the smartest baseball minds out there. Yeah, it's probably going to be a struggle the first year, but I think in the future he could be a pretty good manager.
Yeah, well, these guys just didn't go through the grind every day with Beltran, and I look at that as an advantage at this point, working with these younger players.
Yeah, and he may have an influence on the Latin American guys too.
That's another big thing, especially right now. That's why I've been targeting for the Pirates, go get Joe Espada. Now, it looks like San Francisco might choose him as their new manager. They just hired a new general manager that was working in the Cubs organization. It's a pretty interesting hire from what I've been reading. But
what about that Padres manager, Jace Tingler? I've never heard of him.
Never heard of that guy. He was like a director of something in the Texas Rangers organization.
Yeah,
I don't even know.
It's weird.
Coming from Texas, wow.
Yeah, so that was an interesting move. They did change their colors back to the old.
Yeah, well, I did want to say something about that.
Yeah, the old colors.
I kind of like those. I like those colors.
It was the old
It's a great
Tony
move
Gwynn
for them
colors.
to lose the season 92 games in, not be as good as everyone thinks they're going to be.
No, they don't have any pitching.
No.
They really don't. And that's one place that Strasburg might be.
Yeah, he might go.
Might be talking.
I liked Joey Lucchesi, though. I think he was a pretty good pitcher. Just
not too bad.
He's got that weird windup, and he's got the crazy, churve that he throws.
Yeah.
Just a interesting guy. I like him, but they don't really have any. Kirby Yates is really good, but other than that, they don't really got any pitching.
A lefty on the roster, though. Lefty starting pitcher. They got it. I also like Mackenzie Gore coming up into the system. You know, they're pitching. It's going to be here. Chris Paddock's pretty good.
Chris Paddock is another head case.
Yeah, he is.
Oh, my gosh. Mets fans had a, just rent-free apartment in his head the entire year. Just when he didn't win Rookie of the Month to Pete Alonso. And then Robinson Cano took him yard twice. It was just crazy. And he wasn't even mentioned in the Rookie of the Year voting.
I know. Brian Reynolds should have been in the Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, that was a big – that was like – I Why have Tatis in it when he missed half the season?
I know. I don't get it.
He did have a dominant start, but yeah, when you're out.
It's the star power. It's the flair of what Tatis is compared to Brian Reynolds, who's a country boy from Atlanta or wherever, and you know he doesn't say much, and he's just goes out there.
He doesn't have power
either. He goes out there and rakes.
He goes out there rakes. Hits forever.
Yeah, hits
320.
For average, doesn't have the power.
I think that was the main thing because he was a bit. It was a bit of empty batting average. What he hit, like 11 home runs,
something like
that. It wasn't like Tatis, who hit 23
exactly,
and then Pete Alonso, who hit 53.
They look for the power numbers.
They do, and Mike Soroka just pitched 25 innings in 2018. I hate the rookie qualification status. I don't think he should be up for rookie because he pitched in a lot of games. Like, he pitched only 5 games, but he pitched 25 innings. So, who knows? It's going to Alonso. But
yeah, no doubt.
For sure.
Brian Reynolds' average this year was 314. He had 16 home runs and 68 RBIs, a total WAR of 3.5. Better than I originally thought.
Yeah, not bad. I mean, and compared to Alonso's, what was it? Almost 6 WAR. Just, I'm kind of disappointed that he wasn't even mentioned. He might be 4th or 5th in the Rookie of the Year voting. He's going to get some votes, no doubt.
Oh, he's definitely going to get some votes for 4th and 5th place. I just think 3rd place would have been, it's a realistic possibility.
Yeah, it's just Tatis was the biggest question mark.
Tatis was the biggest name, the biggest just everything that people were looking at. But Pirates GM search right now is down to currently 3, according to reports. The 3rd name is not known, of course, but the 2 names that are known is Matt Arnold of the Brewers, who's been working under David Stern since October 2015, and former Red Sox baseball ops guy, Ben Sherrington.
Ben Sherrington might be, yeah, that's an interesting one, in my opinion. I like Ben Sherrington, and if I know the Pirates, they're not going to hire him.
They're going to make the wrong decision. That's just how they are.
Well, they're also talking that Kevin Graves, the interim GM, might be an in-house candidate.
No
in-house candidates. Okay.
No, you got to continue to clear house and just go with a new, fresh face.
Couple other names that were discussed. Blue Jays senior VP of player personnel, Tony LaCalva. Former Red Sox and GM's GM, Dan Duquette.
As long as it's not David Littlefield.
No, I don't think his name's been thrown out there, but
he ruined the Pirates.
In terms of names, I like Matt Arnold from Milwaukee. I think he might present the best, you know, fit for the Pirates in terms of, you know, look what they're doing in Milwaukee. Smart trades, Yelich, smart free agent signings, low Kane. You know, buy low guys that, you know, develop Jesus Aguilar, who had a couple of good seasons for them.
Bringing
Eric Thames.
Moustakas.
Yeah.
Scope. Those type of guys.
Going in there and, you know, just making transactions when you need to and not being afraid to spend the necessary money. I think Stearns has been good, and if we can, you know, get a disciple of Stearns, I think it would be a good decision by the Pirates front office, and we really just have not seen many good decisions in the, you know, the recent past. Ben Sherrington, I think that would be good too. I think that his role in Boston winning World Series, you know, wasn't Dave Dombrowski kind of the, you know, the guy?
Yeah, he was the guy that really orchestrated a lot of the deals. But
yeah, and Sherrington
might have been just a puppet.
He was just kind of there. That's the thing that concerns me. You know, do you really want to hire Dombrowski's puppet to run your team, or you're not going to have anybody giving the orders to Sherrington? And, you know, you also think he's also worked in the Blue Jays front office. Is he really going to be able to work on a budget when the Blue Jays are spending, you know, upwards of $160, $70 million and Boston's around $200 million, where you got to be, you know, half of that with the Pirates?
Yeah, that's what a lot of people have to come in and deal with is the budget.
The budget, yes.
The mess that's going on right now, and it depends if they want to do it.
Yeah, that's why you got to wonder. I think Arnold might be the guy. He's, you know, young guy. He's only 40 years old. He has experience. You know, it's youth but experience working with the Brewers, and the Brewers became what the Pirates have to be. You know, they don't have much pitching, but they're a team that, you know, gets by, does what they got to do, and, you know, has a star. And that's just, you know, they went out there and acquired their star. They were not afraid to trade for, you know, top pieces. But the difference between them trading for a player, you know, giving up their top asset like the Pirates for Chris Archer, they went out there and got a guy that they improved significantly. Yeah.
He wasn't. For the Marlins, he was an underrated player, wasn't really looked at, and then he just exploded when he went to Milwaukee. That's what you have to do with the Pirates.
Yeah, I mean, he was always a great hitter on the Marlins, like you said. Someone who faced him 19 times a year, he was just annoying to play against. But he just has elevated his play to a level that isn't even comprehensible, and I guess that's what leaving the Marlins does to you.
But he was still the third best outfielder in his own team.
Yeah, there was a lot of low-key gems down there that the Marlins could not develop into, you know, star players down there until they left. So, except for, like, besides Stanton.
Stanton's sort of just fallen off a bit a lot. Yeah. Ever since he got into the Yankees, I feel like
it's been the opposite.
Their fans are getting into his head a little bit because they're booing him.
Yeah.
And he's playing behind Judge instead of being, you know, the star. I don't know if that has any effect, but
Ozuna in St. Louis, he hasn't been bad. I mean, you haven't heard a lot about him in St. Louis. I mean, the most famous moment he had in St. Louis is when he climbed the wall and he missed the ball and fell. That was a great Spider-Man moment.
Out there.
But he has been pretty underrated for that team, and always has been an underrated player, just annoying to play against. And yeah, I just think Miami gets a lot of diamonds in the rough, and once they get out of Miami, they're insane. Like Chris Paddock, Luis Castillo, all these guys.
JT Realmuto.
All these guys started on Miami. Once they left, they became really good.
You have so many players.
Tatis, too.
Yeah, just think of that team.
Oh, no, Tatis was White Sox.
Yeah, Tatis was White Sox. But just think of that team with all those assets that basically all snowballed downhill after Jose Fernandez.
Just the Marlins don't know what they're doing down there. Worse than the Pirates, probably.
Worse than the Pirates. Just think of that. Do you think someone could be worse than the Pirates?
Well,
right
they
now?
Have
the
won
Marlins
a World
are.
Series, though, in this century, so.
Yeah, won a couple.
Hey, they've won the World Series both times they've made the playoffs. So you can't really take that away from them.
Pretty interesting fact, but yeah. 97 being the big year, beating the 97 Indians, but yeah.
They're just a team that like doesn't know how to deal with success, I feel like, because they did a fire sale after they won the World Series both times. Well, and they accidentally won the 2003 World Series.
I don't think Jeter can put a team together. I just don't like their ownership group whatsoever. I don't have any confidence or trust in them.
Yeah.
At all.
Yeah. That's a fair statement. It's just they're not going to be good for a while. It's going to be like 5 or 6 years before they're even back into like third place. So because they have a bunch of just no names running around. And then you've got guys like Neil Walker and Curtis Granderson trying to – and then they're struggling down there.
Yeah,
just
trying to hang on the last couple years of their careers. But, yeah, not really great. But I don't – let's go back to the Pirates. I don't know where they go from here in terms of – you know, they can't really go anywhere until they hire a new GM and a new manager.
Yeah, they're sort of directionless right now, I feel like.
Yeah, they really are, and especially with the GM meetings beginning with GM.
Yeah, they need to figure out who their GM is before they head into those.
They're just going
to
have an empty table at the meetings.
Hire somebody and have them represent your team. Please, please get someone in the building. Start making moves. Start deciding what you got to do. You got to make moves on, do you trade Marte? What are you doing with Archer? You know, new pitching coaches, managers. It's a mess.
Yep, that's really what the Pirates are. Just a mess right now. It's as much as I'm not trying to sugarcoat it there. It's just hard, especially when the fans love them, especially when they're good. They pack the house. It's hard to do that when you have players like, I don't even know. Like Dovidas Neverauskas taking the mound, just throwing a random name out there.
yeah.
You need to have a bit of a draw. Like, gone are the days of Bucktober, and back are the days of what are we doing?
When they play good, they fill the stadium. Like, it's just how it is. But
like, PNC Park in the playoffs is almost electric. I mean, I have to say Citi Field is a little bit more electric there. And then Rogers Center in the playoffs.
Yeah, I will say – yeah,
Toronto in the playoffs. Toronto
sports, when they make the playoffs, their fan base is insane.
Like I watched like their playoff run in 15. I wish the Mets played them in the World Series because the Mets would have beat them.
Probably.
Yeah, but hopefully, you know, Travis Williams coming in, they grab a new general manager, they can get things going and bringing hope back to the city because they lost trust within their fans. So
yeah, I know Williams even said it. We got to build back our relationship with the fans, and it was good that he admitted that. But, you know,
As much as Huntington got a bad rap, I feel like he was sort of just not allowed to do. He was doing what Nutting wanted him to do.
Yeah, I'm a Huntington supporter. I still am, even after all of this. I just think, you know, his overall contributions to the team was
because he was able to build up the team back from when Littlefield destroyed it.
Yeah, he provided a bunch of talent to the team that the manager and the coaches just couldn't develop. And he tried to, I wouldn't say cover it up, but he tried to fix some of their mistakes by trading for Archer and trading, you know, a couple other guys that the coaching staff could not develop, and it backfired on everybody, and that's why everyone is out.
I feel like Nutting just had his fingerprints or just had his hands around Huntington's neck pretty much the entire time he was in Pittsburgh. I feel like that he just wasn't allowed to do what he should have done.
Yep.
Like, he could have gone a bit, but the Pirates are never one to make big splashes in free agency.
No.
So.
And I don't think they ever will be until we find the general manager or somebody that's going to spend. But it's all on the owner, and if the owner doesn't allow you to, then it's never going to happen, obviously. But that's where the Pirates stand. And I think getting a new manager will be critical for the team, who it's going to be. Clint Hurdle lost interest. Clint Hurdle did not want to be there.
Clint Hurdle lost the locker room.
Yes.
He lost control of that locker room. Kyle Crick and the whole Vasquez situation.
Clint Hurdle lost the clubhouse in June.
Yeah.
It was the
season. He lost the clubhouse a few years ago. I always bring up the David Freese comments where he's always like, this clubhouse is a mess. Like, there's no leadership. There's nothing. Like, Freeze came out about it, I think, maybe last year, at the beginning of last year or 2 years ago.
There is no leader. Who is the leader on this baseball team?
They don't really have any veteran presence. I mean, yeah, you can say Josh Bell, but, like,
no. He's not,
he's not even really a veteran.
You would not throw Josh Bell as your veteran.
Josh Bell's not your leader.
No.
He's becoming
a veteran.
They
need a guy like Neil Walker back. I feel like that he was a big leader in that clubhouse. He was one of their underrated guys that was really a big part of their playoff teams.
Yeah.
Just if you want to get back to the playoffs, you gotta rebuild.
I mean, do you say Francisco Liriano's your
that's
leader?
One name
and
I
also
the, like most veteran.
And
guy.
Also Cervelli when he was here was probably your leader, to be honest. But then getting rid of him, you know,
I don't really see Jameson Taillon as your leader. I think he's just a nice guy with a, you know, who is a voice in the clubhouse. But
imagine this team with Glasnow and Meadows.
Though. I know.
Just
they'd be in a completely different situation, especially and Shane Boz in the minors. They'd be in a completely different situation. With Meadows would be Marte would have probably already been traded. You'd put Meadows
and
left.
Right. Yeah, or right.
You'd
yeah.
put Meadows. Yeah, probably Meadows and right. Brian Reynolds either in center or left if you traded Marte, and if you didn't, then you put him in center. It's a pretty good outfield right there, and then you still got Polanco, whatever you got to do with him. Josh Bell hitting at first. I still think you got to put Newman at second and put Cole Tucker at shortstop. I just think that's the move going forward. I don't like Adam Frazier.
Frazier will be your utility guy.
Frazier's good. I don't mind Frazier.
I mind Frazier a lot.
I think he's sneaky good.
I don't. He is.
He can hit here and there, but he doesn't live up to probably the potential that a lot of people, you know, the expectations that a lot of people give him. Because there was people talking like, oh, he's going to win batting titles and things like that.
David Freese said when he was a rookie that Adam Frazier would win a batting title. You don't see it.
They said Jeff McNeil would win a batting title in his future, and he will. But
I think it's
he's better off than Frazier. I mean, and also Frazier's not going to see the time anymore. Newman will end up at second.
Newman is really good. Newman and I think Kramer might. Has Seinfeld there, but they have these pieces right now. They need to build around these pieces. They need to get rid of all the filler guys. Get whatever you can in return.
Need to find a catcher.
You can't have Stallings as your catcher.
Can we go out and get Robinson Chirinos, please?
Chirinos is a guy that can fit on really any team that needs a catcher.
I think it'd be great to get Chirinos.
You can get who's the other guy? There's another.
Chirinos is available. Martin Maldonado is available.
Yeah, Maldonado's another guy.
Jason Castro is available. I wouldn't go after him.
Jason Castro feels like a Pirates name to me.
Yeah, that's the problem. That's why I wouldn't go after
another
him.
Pirates-type pitcher that I feel like was on the – such a Pirates-type pitcher is Kyle Gibson.
That's what I was just thinking.
Yeah, just Kyle Gibson. They're going to sign Kyle Gibson. They're going to sign Cameron Maybin, and they're going to just do the same thing they did last year and just be –
Kyle Gibson, maybe Avisail Garcia is another name.
I said Jake Odorizzi, you know.
Jake Odorizzi's going to command a lot of money, though.
I think Odorizzi's going to Philly.
Possible.
That's where I think
Philly's going to throw a lot of money and be probably bad.
I don't know why Philly has this much money.
Where are they getting it?
They're going to go over the luxury tax.
Yeah.
They're going to try to go after Cole. They're not going to get it.
They're going to end up throwing a lot of money and probably being just as bad with teams competing like the Mets and the Braves and the Nationals again. So
I think the Mets might be a wild card team next
year. I think Philly's continue to fall under those type of teams right now.
Harper is the cancer, I feel like. Harper is the one
He's good. He's putting up decent. He's putting up really good numbers. But he did the
same thing with
his average sucks.
His average is just garbage. And then with he's gonna walk. He's gonna hit like 30 home runs. So he's just a normal three. Yeah. He's the guy that I feel
he's
like
turning into the Ryan Howard, the new age Ryan Howard for the Phillies.
Yeah. Ryan Howard. Oh man, that guy.
That's a little bit of a stretch.
There was a few guys in like the 2000s that I was actually scared of when they came up to the plate. It was Ryan Howard, it was Albert Pujols, it was Rodriguez, and it was David Ortiz. Those were the four guys.
All I remember about like Howard and that team before they fell apart was when we had Wandy Rodriguez for the Pirates. Yep. Went into Philly, back-to-back batters, Utley and Howard. He's a lefty pitcher. High and inside, both of them turned on it and crushed the ball. I'm pretty sure it was back-to-back.
Those Phillies through the late 2000 teams were scary.
Roy Halladay commanding the pitching staff.
Yeah, and he didn't even win the World Series with them. So imagine that, but they had that so-called five aces year where they had Joe Blanton as one of their aces. Didn't make sense. But Phillies, that I will always not like them just because of that period of time, because that was my childhood years where people would make fun of me for being a Mets fan in Philly. It's just like Bryce Harper, he did the same thing with the Nationals. They made the playoffs, didn't get past the first round, but then he left and they get past the first round. So maybe he's the reason why these teams don't. Maybe he's like Taylor Hall in the NHL, just doesn't make the playoffs or just doesn't do well in the playoffs.
Yeah, but hey, Bryce Harper, they did bring a World Series title back to DC. News out of the Philadelphia Inquirer, just coming up on Bleacher Report. Philly is targeting Gerrit Cole. They have him at the top of their wish list. Interesting. I don't think it's anything surprising. I think
everybody wants him.
Everybody wants him. Everybody knew that, the top teams with money to spend and the top teams.
He's not going to sign with the Phillies.
No, he's not signing with the Phillies.
They're going to believe. They did the same thing with Mike Trout. They're going to believe. They're going to make themselves believe that he's going to come to the team. Like Mike Trout, yeah, he's from the area, but he's not going to sign with you guys.
Then he signed like a $500 million deal with the Angels. Yeah. And that's where Gerrit Cole's going to end up going. So you're going to have like $700 million invested in two players over there?
That's the Philly fan mindset, I feel like. They think these players that they have are better than they are or are going to come to the team because of these players, and they're just not. Like they said, J.P. Crawford was the next amazing shortstop in the league. Yeah. And look, he's in Seattle now.
Well, they think that everybody wants to come to Philly and succeed there. And they don't, okay? Who is pulling out all the stops
who's,
to say,
who's
I want to go
vacation to Philly?
Who is saying, I want to go to Philly? Who in baseball is saying that? I've not seen any Harper, sure.
If you look at it this way, the nicest area of Philly is the stadium park, where all three stadiums are. The Eagles are great. I mean, don't get me wrong, the Eagles are a good team. But the Phillies are going to be stuck in mediocrity for the next couple of years. The Flyers are somehow doing well right now, but probably won't last as they normally do. Just a lot of directionless teams in Philly, and nobody wants to come. Nobody's going on a vacation to Philly. It's like, I want to raise my kids in Philadelphia. Nope, that's not happening.
No, no one wants to do anything other than see the Rocky statue and that cracked bell, though they got the Liberty Bell. But, yeah.
That's that home run song gets stuck in my head all the time.
Yeah, that's about it. That nice bell they got inside the stadium.
I will say the bank is a nice stadium. Citizens Bank Park, it's a nice stadium. It's a launching pad. I love it when the Mets go there because they crush the ball there. But it's a nice stadium, and it's pretty easy to get tickets to go. So
that's pretty
easy. If you're ever looking for cheap tickets besides the Pirates, go to a Phillies game.
Oh, we got those.
Pirates are like $10 tickets.
The $1 tickets and free hot dogs.
Yep.
That's where it's at.
And
they run out of buns.
Dollar dog.
They run out of buns.
Dollar dog night, we're running out of buns.
And there's only like 20,000 people there, and they're running out of buns.
What is it? Their one place, the North Shore Refreshment Company or whatever it's called.
Yeah,
it's
something
always
like that.
Long lines.
Always.
I always want to get food there, but the lines are always really long. I'm like, I'm trying to get some popcorn. Lines are really long.
It's always bad. But we want to start talking about some awards.
Yeah.
It is award season. I think tonight's actually the first.
We got three main awards. We got Rookie of the Year, got Cy Young, and you got MVP.
The Manager of the Year.
All right, guys. So I'll start off with you guys. So you guys, what are your picks for those awards?
Well, let's start at NL. I think we talked about it earlier. I think Pete Alonso is the obvious.
Oh my gosh, we don't even have to talk about that. I mean,
no, obvious runaway choice. I think Tatis is another guy that is is good to have in there. But Mike Soroka of the Braves probably going to be the third.
It shouldn't be a rookie in my opinion.
I think it should be Brian Reynolds, but
I think Alonso it can't not be him because just sort of the way he transcended baseball in his first season. And he's such a great guy to have. He's the future captain of the Mets. He's assuming that David Wright role.
I think he is. He is the captain of the Mets right now.
Yeah.
I think he's the guy.
He's
the guy everybody leans to.
AL Rookie of the Year, I think I got to go with Yordan Alvarez.
Yordan in a landslide. I think, you look at John Means from the Orioles. He had a pretty productive season.
He did. Lau, and Alvarez?
Yeah, Alvarez, Brandon Lau, the Rays, and John Means.
I think Lau, if he didn't get hurt, probably could have won it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'll agree with both of you guys. Alonso, Alvarez, your picks for Rookie of the Year. There's no other way around it. You can't go wrong there.
Yordan's stats have just been – they were phenomenal during the regular season.
And he was crushing the ball for, just the amount of time he played.
And then he turned into a normal player in the world in the playoffs.
Yeah. He was their best hitter in the regular season when he was on the big league club. Just think about that. With the team of Correa – Altuve, Bregman, Josh Reddickit, Gurriel. Yordan Alvarez was the best hitter on that team statistically.
Yeah.
He was dominant. NL Manager of the Year. No, none of these names really stuck out to me when I was watching the show.
You can't give it to Davey Martinez. You just can't.
I think Davey Martinez would have been a great option. For him not even to be in the top three surprises me.
Who are the top three?
Craig Counsell of the Brewers. Brian Snicker of the Braves, Mike Schilt of the Cardinals. None of those names jump out to me.
I think Schilt probably because he revived the Cardinals when they were terrible in the beginning of the season, just like the Nationals did. I just think Davey Martinez just made some very boneheaded moves, so that's why he's not in this choice. But, I think he's got to go to Schilt.
Cardinals were dead to rights, middle of the season.
Were they worse than the Pirates?
They were worse than the Pirates at one time. Just think about that. They were worse than the Pirates. I think Mike Schilt deserves it. Even though his name doesn't, the Cardinals team, but it's the Cardinals team in general. They just don't jump out at you because they don't have, they just don't have that,
Snicker, why put him on there? The Braves are just
I'm actually going to go with predicting for Snicker because 97 wins for a Braves team, they're good, but and
it, I feel it, like it's
in a division that's competitive.
The team than it is him because the team is great. Don't get me wrong about that. Just, I think Snicker would have had a more reason to get it in 18. Like he did in 18, because the team was terrible the years prior, and then they became good. So I think he's got to go to Shield.
I just don't look at the Cardinals and say they just don't seem that dominant force that they always were. They just seem they just seem like the average Cardinals.
Especially when it came to the playoffs. I mean, they were playing average baseball and they got swept.
The 10-run first inning was really all the runs they scored for the rest of the playoffs.
They're not the same old Cardinals that everybody is used to.
They're not the team you bet. They're not the team you would bet on to win the World Series because when they're in the playoffs, you got to bet on them. But this year, it was different.
I didn't think they'd win the division.
Yeah.
I didn't think they'd be third in the division.
Yeah, that came out of nowhere. No. That really came out of nowhere.
So I think it's deserved. Let's go to the AL candidates. Rocco Baldelli of the Twins, Aaron Boone of the Yankees again, and Kevin Cash of the Rays.
It's a toss up between Cash and Baldelli for me.
I think it's
because Cash finally brought the race.
I'd go Cash.
I think this is an easy choice. I think Rocco Baldelli.
Really,
the Twins were awful last season.
Yeah,
the Twins. I feel like though they're just garbage time home run hitters. Like all their Bomba Squad home runs in the playoffs were solo home runs when they were down 6-1.
Yeah. They broke records with home runs. Rocco Baldelli being a rookie manager, just going in there on a Twins team that was just average, so average last year to being elite this year with all this hitting.
But you also look at the Rays. I mean, you can make a case for the Twins and the Rays about the youth on their teams and the way their managers, were able to expose that youth and get them to fulfill their potential. I mean, the Rays didn't have a great team. I mean, talking about, what was it, Greinke had a higher payroll than everyone in their lineup that one game.
Well, here's the thing.
The guys that they had on the field.
Two additions, one addition for each team that really changed the season for the Rays. For the Rays and the Twins. Nelson Cruz was the biggest addition for the Twins.
Yep.
Nelson Cruz, don't know why nobody else offered him a contract. Great player, home run hitter. Really helped revitalize the Twins. Obviously, you can't give it to Aaron Boone. It's the team. The team is the reason Aaron Boone is good. And then I think the addition for the Rays is Travis d'Arnaud. Came out of really just nowhere after being terrible on my beloved New York Mets. and they sort of shed him a little too fast. And then going to the Dodgers for a game and then going to the Rays, I just think he was the biggest guy that really saved their season, sort of.
I mean, Darnell was always hurt with the Mets, and I don't think that they really embraced him fully. But I got two other guys on both of those teams. I look at Jonathan Schoop, was a great addition. Just a buy-low guy that was great for Minnesota. And then, Nate, I'm probably stealing yours right now, Charlie Morton for the Rays.
Yeah.
No, I wasn't going
to
say
that. The Twins
were
the first team to end Jacob DeGrom's quality start streak.
Yeah.
Just think of that.
The Rays had a great season, but Morton was – he was the anchor that they needed.
Yeah. I mean, they got just enough hitting, but they played exceptional defense, and then they got the pitching that they needed.
And Emilio Pagan, a really good reliever for that team. So,
I mean, they got the right pieces. I mean,
they did.
Again, players that – but you look at the young guys like Glasnow and Meadows, bringing them in. You know, they were all right in Pittsburgh. I mean, just coming up, but – they really exceeded, obviously, probably expectations down there just the way they played this year. So, I mean, that relies on Kevin Cash a little bit. I mean, just how he handled the whole situation with their team and their lineups.
I think Cash is a very solid second place, but I just think that, you know, they won 90 games last year. Rocco Baldelli with the Twins, they were, you know, the Twins weren't predicted to make the playoffs, do anything special. They weren't supposed to be very good at all. And I think just his impact on that team was the best out of any manager in the American League. So let's go to the Cy Young candidates in the National League. Your Jacob DeGrom on the New York Mets, Hyunjin Ryu and Max Scherzer of the Nationals.
It's Jacob DeGrom. I think DeGrom takes two straight just because Ryu even said that DeGrom deserves it. I think Ryu's stretch where he was just really, really hittable, really killed it, and I just think DeGrom is just becoming sort of the pitcher that nobody knew he was going to become. They were having guys. They said Michael Pineda was better than him when he first came up.
Yeah.
So, and now DeGrom's one of the best pitchers in the NL. I just think it's got to go to DeGrom again. Leader in most categories, if not.
Yeah.
Most categories. Obviously, doesn't have ERA. But the strikeouts are good. I just think it can't not go to DeGrom.
Yeah, I like Ryu still. I think, you know,
I'd go with Ryu as well.
The back half of his year wasn't as great. And, you know, the first half of his year, ERA around like 1.9, 1.8.
And he finished with the best ERA in the league as well. So
he was great on that team. I just think
he doesn't have really the strikeouts to back it up, though.
No,
that's really the only knock.
He was a surprise guy. I think, you know, are strikeouts a big thing? Yeah. I also think strikeouts are a little overvalued. I'm not trying to sound like Ray Steerage, but I like outs. You know, outs are good.
And also, he did not walk a lot of batters.
No.
1.2 walks per nine.
Even though the ball was in play a good bit with Ryu, you know, a lot of soft contact on him. And I think, you know, Scherzer's always going to be up there in the top three. I just don't think that he reaches, you know, what these other two guys were. As, you know, Scherzer's just a constant guy that's just there. Kind of like Trout in the MVP voting. But
you can't go wrong with either Ryu or DeGrom.
No, I don't think you can. American League, I think this is pretty easy. You got two from the same team, Gerrit Cole, Justin Verlander, and the aforementioned Charlie Morton. I think Cole runs away with it. I think it's pretty easy. Strikeout numbers insane.
Yeah.
ERA insane. Everything insane as long as his ego is as well as his ego. But I think Gerrit Cole takes it, and he takes the Cy Young Award to sunny Southern California.
Yeah, go Gerrit Cole, easy pick. I mean, going out there, he's utterly dominant. Like there's no other pitcher out there right now who's as good as him. And even when I came to the playoffs, he was great. So
you can also link it to Brent Strom, the pitching coach for the Astros, making him the player he is now.
All right, the top award given out, the MVPs in the National League: Cody Bellinger, Anthony Rendon, Christian Yelich, the candidates.
I think Yelich still gets it in the NL. I know Rendon is also another good choice. I would probably also take, but I just think Yelich played well, like better than anybody else when he was still healthy.
I think if he didn't get hurt, I think
he's easy.
Great chance that Yelich gets it. I think Cody Bellinger takes it.
Yeah, well, for
Bellinger fell off mightily after his like 400 start to the season,
and also the postseason was not great.
It wasn't great
to Bellinger, and also Yelich. I mean, the Brewers still made the playoffs without Yelich, so I think that has a knock on him. But I go Rendon here. I mentioned him. What, like a month or two ago we were talking MVPs, you know, predicting. I said Rendon, he batted .319 on the year, was really an anchor to this team, you know, taking them, winning the World Series. I think that has a big factor to it. 34 home runs on the year, so I go Rendon in the National League.
Not a bad pick. Yeah, I do. I just think that Bellinger's impact, even though he was on the best team in that in the regular season for the Dodgers, I think his impact was pretty significant, pretty great. And you know, you just can't sustain hitting 400, obviously. But I think Bellinger's pretty good. Defensively, he was pretty solid as well, moving around in the outfield. I don't think it's a bad choice. I don't think any of these guys is a bad choice. I really don't. But I think that's going to be the tightest race to watch. In the American League, Alex Bregman, Marcus Semien, Mike Trout.
How about Marcus Semien coming in on the finalist list?
Yeah, instead of DJ LeMahieu, making all Yankees fans mad.
He batted below 290 on the year, but, I mean, obviously a good defensive player, so, and he played every game. So
it was an interesting in there, but you can never go wrong with Mike Trout. But I just think it's got to go to Bregman because Semien doesn't really jump out as me as a guy that would win this year. But if he does, that would be insane. Imagine having an MVP for a guy that like nobody's really heard of.
Mm-hmm.
Just crazy.
He was on a team that didn't make the postseason, so that would be a case you can make for him. I go Trout. I picked him before.
It's a lot weaker in the AL for once than it is in the NL.
Yeah. Bregman, again, is on a team that, you know, had a lot of really good pieces around him. Yeah, Bregman had a very good year, but I go Trout. You know, he continues to be one of the best in the league, one of the best players the MLB will ever see. So I go Trout as my MVP.
Yeah, I got to go Bregman. He was my choice from kind of early on. I think his season was just phenomenal. And, you know, I don't think, you know, eventually Trout's not going to get it. I think Bregman takes it. I think his season was just too good. And I just like where, you know, the Astros are and where we're going. So let's go to free agency as we wrap up the show. Let's talk a little bit about free agents. The top free agents out there right now, Gerrit Cole, along with
Steven Strasburg
and Anthony Rendon. Bunch of just critical guys that wherever they go are just going to make I don't even know the words. The impact that they're going to make whatever team they go to is going to be so incredible. It's just where are they going to go and who's going to be impacted by them. So where do you guys think that Rendon, Strasburg, and Cole all end up?
Rendon, I feel, stays. I think, you know, the Nationals are going to make a huge push to try to get him to stay. I don't think they're going to really even consider Strasburg. I think they're going to let him walk. So I think they're going to try to get Rendon to be, you know, the piece, you know, to continue this team because I think they're going to be another competitive team next year, you know, probably fighting for a postseason berth and potentially a World Series championship again, trying to go back-to-back, but it's hard, obviously, in the MLB. Strasburg, I don't know. This one's tough. I know the Padres were thrown out there as a name. They might try to make a push because they went after Machado, so why not try to find starting pitching and go for Strasburg? And then Gerrit Cole, I think, is going to end up with the Yankees. Hot take. I think he's going to go. I think they're going to send a lot of money his way, and I don't think he's going to pass it up. I think he's going to probably want to play in the New York atmosphere, even though easily probably get to his head. But I think they're going to make a huge push to get him, and Gerrit Cole ends up in the Bronx.
That's interesting. I think Gerrit Cole goes to the Angels. I just think that it's too mapped out right now. He's from there. His parents go to Angels games. I think that, you know, they're going to throw a bunch of money at him. I think with Joe Maddon, put him with Mike Trout, Shohei Ohtani, Albert Pujols still there. They got a bunch of money on the books, but I think it needs to happen. They need someone to anchor that rotation, and there's just in a stale period. The Angels are just there, you know? They always hover around 85 to 75 wins every year. No real direction that they're going in. I think it's important. I think it's key. You've got to go get that key starting pitcher. You cannot continue to waste Mike Trout's prime years.
Oh, yeah. they still got really good pieces on that Angels team. I just think they're moving forward. They might make the playoffs in like 2 years. I just think they need to anchor that rotation a little bit better, like you said. If they get Cole, that's a start. And then they got some really good relievers. They got like Hansel Robles had a really good season for them. They got a couple other guys that are pretty good. So just let's keep an eye on the Angels going forward. I think I agree with the Cole pick for the Angels. But for me, I think Strasburg is going to San Diego. Went to San Diego State in college. I mean, it's obviously a really good choice. And then I think Rendon, another hometown guy, I think he's going to Texas Rangers. it's going to be a it's a random choice, but it's also an interesting choice. And I feel like they're going to make a push for him. But if I'm doing my bias pick, I think he's going to the New York Mets.
Pretty interesting. I'm of the belief that Strasburg and Rendon both stay. I think Strasburg wants to stay. I think Rendon really wants to stay, with him making counter offers to the Nationals when they've been working on a contract throughout the past year. I just think that they both stay. I think the Nationals are going to throw the necessary money out there that they have because they didn't sign Harper. I think they're going to be able to put that out there for Rendon. Strasburg is going to be a little hard to keep. Yeah, does it mean you're not going to be able to sign, you know, maybe Trey Turner in the future or someone else? Yeah, because you got a bunch of money with Corbin and Max Scherzer already on the books. I don't know. I just think that Strasburg's money was already pretty high. I don't think that Mike Rizzo has a problem paying him a boatload of money.
The sleeper team for Strasburg, the Pittsburgh Pirates.
The Pirates.
No Pirates. No money is going to be going towards him from Pittsburgh.
The Pittsburgh Pirates. They're going to sign all the top 50 free agents. Pirates will become a super team this offseason. They're just going to sign.
I was going to say they signed all three of those guys, but I was like, oh, no.
Imagine if they did that and they still won 75
games.
This,
where did the money come from?
Yeah. Oh, God.
Neil Huntington was hoarding $100 million.
It wasn't Bob Nutting. Bob Nutting was offering the money. Neil Huntington was just holding on to it. And he didn't want to throw Neil Huntington under the bus. But, oh, God. That is that.
All right.
Anybody have anything else to add as we wrap up?
Silver Sluggers were announced.
Silver Sluggers. Let's talk
that
Silver
has
Sluggers.
Any interest.
Why did Pete not win the Silver Sluggers?
That's incredible. He didn't.
So, running through the NL, at catcher JT Realmuto, Freddie Freeman at first base, Ozzie Albies. For the Braves as well, at second base, Anthony Rendon easily at third. Trevor Story at short. Outfielders are Ronald Acuna, Cody Bellinger, Christian Yelich, and Zach Greinke won. So he's a Silver Slugger and a Gold Glover. How about that?
Yeah, and he was traded midseason. How about
both
that?
For the National League. How about that?
That's crazy. That just shows you how good he is and what he does.
Talk about first base,
though.
Yeah,
the same thing in the AL. Mike Leake was traded to the NL. So, yeah. And he won in the AL.
Yeah, that's pretty odd, but.
You can't really have a Silver Slugger in the AL for a pitcher.
No.
Because they don't hit.
Yeah, so your AL is Mitch Garver at catcher, Carlos Santana at first, DJ LeMahieu.
Oh, wait, easily. Never mind. I'm thinking of Gold Glove.
Yeah, you're thinking of Gold Glove.
Never mind.
DJ
yeah.
LeMahieu at second. Bregman wins at third. Xander Bogaerts for the Red Sox at shortstop. And then your outfielders are George Springer, Mookie Betts, Mike Trout, and your designated hitter, Nelson Cruz.
Yes.
Kind of surprised Lindor didn't get shortstop, but.
Why did Pete Alonso not get first base in the NL? That's just ridiculous.
It was a competitive there at first base because you could also throw Josh Bell in there. I mean, he had a good year.
Cody Bellinger didn't play a lot of first
base.
But.
He ended up winning the outfield. So. But, yeah, Pete Alonso, that is surprising, 50-plus home runs.
I think they looked at average a bit more because Freeman hit 300. So, but, yeah, I don't know.
And Freeman was also
it's
on
okay.
a postseason
Alonso's
going to
win the Rookie of the Year and probably get some MVP votes. So,
good chance. But, yeah, anything else to add as we wrap up?
No, that's all I got.
Oh, no, not much.
Well, it was a pretty good show.
We just got to bring on Goldberg to rip on Harper and the Phillies.
We do have to bring on
Am
Goldberg.
Am I better than Goldberg?
Yes.
Yes, we believe that you're probably going to be better than Goldberg. We've not had Goldberg on yet, but we're just going to take a guess.
Goldberg is probably not going to be on because he has terrible time management.
Yes. Yeah, we asked him last week, and he's like, no.
Goldberg was like,
I have registration.
I have to do all my paper for my math project. I don't know what he had to do.
Do my paper for my math project.
Exactly.
I have bowling.
I had to go pick up my bowling ball. The shuttle was late to pick me up, too.
Shuttle was pretty late today when I was coming over. But yes.
That's not good, but.
Not good at all.
Yeah. All right, well. That is our show. We're going to play the same exact song that we play every week because we still cannot find a new song. This is it. All right, we want to thank our special guest, Tyler Gallo, for joining us today. Gallo, I hope your Mets figure out what they're doing in the offseason.
I hope so, too. Thanks, guys, for having me on. It was a great time, and I'm looking forward to the future.
No problem. I am Austin Bechtold.
I'm Nathan Breisinger.
This is the Bryson Bechtold Baseball Breakdown. Thanks for listening. City, I broke all the notch. Got some more millions that keep me a